said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful me.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together. Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten.
B46. Please be seated.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading we heard just a moment ago from Matthew 11, especially these words. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it has become very popular over the last 40 or 50 years to look at these words from Matthew chapter 11 and use them as an occasion to dig deep into the psyche of John the Baptist. To psychoanalyze John, what must he have been thinking? What worries and fears were going through his mind? Was he questioning and doubting his mission? What was he thinking? After all, he must have considered himself a failure, right? Here he was in prison with nothing more to do than to wallow in his desperate situation. It's become very popular, but my friends, I will encourage you today, do not take the bait. Do not fall for it. These words recorded in Matthew 11 are not recorded so we can feel sorry for John or play some psychological game going back 2,000 years and trying to figure out what he was thinking or feeling. These words are given to us for a different purpose. John the Baptist. We sang in the hymn just a few moments ago. John the Baptist, who made the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, even while he was in his mother's womb, leaping for joy. How do we know this? Because God's Word, the Bible, tells us. John the Baptist, who heard the Word of God thunder from above as Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. The Father spoke, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to Him." John the Baptist, who knew his mission, who said, "This Jesus, I am not worthy to untie the sandals on His feet. This Jesus, He must increase, I must decrease." John, who made the great confession that we continue to make today, every time we sing in the liturgy, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All of these things are absolutely clear because they are written down in God's Word for us. We don't have to play some game about maybe this or maybe that. We can turn to the sure and certain Word of God. So, why do we have these words recorded for us in Matthew 11? John really is in prison. And you know why John was put in prison? He was put in prison because he was a faithful pastor. A faithful pastor who spoke the Word of God and he did not worry about the consequences. He pointed out the sin of somebody who was very powerful, Herod. He didn't worry about his own skin. He didn't worry about popularity. He called sin, sin. And Herod didn't like it. So he shut him up, threw him in jail. He did not want to hear the voice of God that was coming through John the Baptist. What did John do? Our text teaches that even while John was in prison, he continued to do what a faithful pastor does. He pointed his followers He pointed people, not to Himself. He didn't say, light a candle and have a vigil for me. No. He sent His disciples to Jesus. That's what John did. He sent His disciples to Jesus. And that is exactly what every faithful pastor does today. You don't need to know about my opinion. You need to know what Jesus says. How do you know what Jesus says? It's recorded for us in the Bible. We open our ears, we open our hearts, we open our lives to the Word of God. The book of Acts tells us that some of the followers, the disciples of John the Baptist, had a hard time letting go. Even after John the Baptist was dead and buried, even after Jesus was dead and buried and risen from the dead, these disciples still followed the teachings of John. They were so enamored with John, they didn't hear what John was saying. Maybe they were admiring his stylish dress, you know, camel's hair. Maybe they were wowed by his unique diet, grasshoppers and honey. For whatever reason, they were enamored with John, but they failed to hear the words coming out of John's mouth. Here, John, concerned that his followers might be led astray by his circumstances, he sent them to Jesus. Jesus receives these followers of John. He knows who they are. He knows who John is, the great prophet sent to pave the way, faithful man of God. And so, these followers of John, they do what they are told. They go to Jesus and they ask Him a simple question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Jesus, are you the real deal? Are you really who you say you are? Are you the Son of God in human flesh, the Savior of the world, the Messiah? Or do we get our hopes up for nothing? My friends, how often aren't we in exactly the same situation as these followers of John? We are living our life. We're working, we're earning a paycheck, we're taking care of our family, we're being good citizens, we're being good neighbors. And then something happens in our world. Something happens in our lives. Maybe it's trouble at work, trouble at school. Maybe it's trouble in the family. Maybe it's something going on nationally. Maybe it's a visit to the doctor. Maybe it's a fight. Doesn't matter. All of a sudden, we begin to question and doubt. Jesus, are you the real deal? Are you the one? Are you the Savior from my sin, all of my sin? What about those deep, dark secrets that nobody knows about but me? My guilt, my shame. Are you really the one? Can I trust your word in any and every situation? Will your word do what it promises to do? Are you the one, Jesus? Or is there something better? Should we wait for someone or something else? It's important for us to hear how Jesus responds to these followers of John, because He's speaking to us at the same time. Jesus could have come right out and said, well, of course I'm the one. Duh! But he didn't. He took a different approach. A perfect approach. Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. Go and tell John what you hear and see." Jesus points to His words and His work. Jesus points the followers of John, and He points you and me. When we have worries, when we have fears, when we have questions, when we have doubts, to the words and work of Jesus. Imagine that. Go and tell people what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. Deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news preached to them. Well, 5 out of 6 of those are pretty big deals, right? Miraculous signs. Signs that God's Word, what we would call the Old Testament, said are signs that tell you this is what the Messiah will do. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. He is the one. He is the real deal. No one except God can cure all of these diseases. Make the blind see, make the deaf hear, make the lame walk, make incurable skin diseases go away. And even if there was some miraculous cure for them, there is nobody that can raise dead people back to life. The works of Jesus are obvious signs that He is the one, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the suffering servant, the Messiah, the great prophet, the Savior of the world. But it's that last one, that sixth thing that Jesus points to that oftentimes flies by us. The poor have good news preached to them. Some people will take this and twist this economically and turn this into some sort of a liberation theology, lifting the economically poor out of their plight, overthrowing the government, this kind of nonsense. This is nothing what Jesus is talking about here. When He talks about the poor, He's not talking about your portfolio or your checking account or how many dollars you have saved for retirement. We said the words just a few moments ago. I, say them with me, would you please? I, a poor, miserable sinner. You know those words, right? Do you really mean it? Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. This is the kind of poor we're talking about it. One of our hymns talks about those who are rich in things, yet poor in soul. To admit that we are poor, miserable sinners is to admit that we have nothing that we can offer or bring to God to make God notice us or love us or save us or forgive us. That we are in this miserable state of sin and that we cannot break free on our own. And that we are sinners. Sin that we inherited from our parents all the way back to Adam and Eve. And sin that we commit every day, daily and much. This is who Jesus comes for. Poor, miserable sinners. If you're not a poor, miserable sinner, then Jesus has no good news for you. None. Do it on your own. That's what you want. But for poor, miserable sinners, Jesus has good news. Truly good news. Not that the Huskers won some big recruiting battle for some great tight end, or that the women came back miraculously in five sets to win. No. Those things will be forgotten in a few hours, or a few days, or a few years. What will not be forgotten is the timeless Word of God. The Word of God that endures forever. The Word of God that is good news for poor, miserable sinners. That God sent His Son in the flesh to live and die and rise again for you. Your sins, though they be great, they are gone by the blood of Jesus. Washed clean. Jesus, bleeding and dying for you and for your salvation. Jesus, delivering the goods to you in the waters of holy baptism. Speaking this good news into your ear in the holy absolution. Putting this good news in your mouth in the Lord's Supper. This is the good news that God brings to you. Is it good news? Or are you offended by it? Are you offended by the fact that God says there's only one way to get to heaven, not many ways? Are you offended by the fact that your suffering Savior bled and died on Calvary's cross? This was His glory, not pomp and circumstance and conquering kingdoms by the sword. Are you offended by the fact that God delivers salvation not because of something we do, but passively? And we receive it by grace through faith. How easy it is to be offended by the Word of God. How easy it is to be offended by the good news. My friends, John was a faithful pastor. Oh, he was a sinner and he probably had some questions or doubts. That's just not the point of this text. The point of this text is that faithful pastors, preachers point people to Jesus. God's Word teaches us that you need to pray for your pastor and encourage him. Maybe you haven't noticed, but pastors can be very weak. Pastors can whine and complain. Somebody gets mad and leaves the church. Pastor doesn't sleep for a week. Offerings aren't enough to match the budget. Pastor doesn't sleep for 2 weeks. A fight erupts in the congregation and people refuse to hear the Word of God and will not reconcile. The pastor doesn't sleep for a month. And in case you haven't noticed, these words here are not just for pastors. They are for all of the baptized. You who have been baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a holy priest, a royal priesthood. God has given you the privilege of being able to speak of the marvelous riches that God has given you in any and every circumstance, to always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. The people of God can whine and complain and cower in fear. How easy it is to say, I'm a card-carrying believer. I stand on the Word of God. Until one of your kids or grandkids moves in with their boyfriend or girlfriend. Or one of your family members or friends announces that they are no longer heterosexual and they are self-identifying as something else. Or one of your family or friends or co-workers or neighbors or friends here in church tells you, you know, deep down, I really don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Do you worry about popularity or uncomfortableness at the kitchen table? Or do you take your stand on the Word of God? It's easy to pay lip service to the Word of God. It is not easy to be faithful, either as a pastor or a hearer. So what does God's Word have for us today? Well, there's only one thing that I can do for you, and that is to send you to Jesus to hear His Word and see His work for you. That's all I got. And that's all you need. Can you imagine what those disciples of John, after they heard the words of Jesus, can you imagine what they did? Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us whether they actually went back and told John the things Jesus said. Maybe they were so fired up by what they heard, they didn't go back. They just stuck at the foot of Jesus, clinging on His words. Maybe they went back and told John, John, it doesn't matter whether you stay in jail or whether you lose your head. Whatever happens, Jesus is the one. He's the real deal. In word and in deed, He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. That same message is yours today. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, whatever your worries, whatever your fears, whatever your economic status, whatever your health condition, whatever is on your mind and on your heart, God's Word and work is yours. Jesus is the one. You can trust Him. You can cling to His Word in any and every situation. His words are true and they will endure and last forever. Eternal life is yours, guaranteed by the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus. And you know what that means? Pink candle. Pink candle. The fruit of everything that Jesus has done for you. Joy. Joy. Doesn't mean your problems are going away. Joy. Joy that only God can give. Rejoice, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our joy, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. When we are overcome by the things, the worries, the cares in this world, when our doubts and fears drag us down, when we wonder if Jesus is the real deal, we don't need a pep talk. We don't need a 12-step program. We need to die. Die to ourselves and rise with Christ. That's exactly what we are praying for in our offertory, page 192. Please stand as we sing. Please be seated. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's on our lips every day. Thanks be to God. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Jesus Christ for you today and always would truly bring joy to you and yours. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Stand for the prayers of the church. Almighty God, we have thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, whom John the Baptist pointed toward in word and deed. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, which continues in the pattern of John, pointing people to Jesus. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show forth our thankfulness in lives wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the Word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to all the saints. We especially pray for all of our new members. We ask that they will be strengthened in their faith as they receive gifts in common with us here from this altar, this pulpit, and this font. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel, both at home and in distant lands. We pray for all missionaries, especially Dr. and Deaconess Allman, and also for Reverend Preuss. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially President Obama and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make administer and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, bless the schools of the church, especially Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Lutheran School and Preschool, and all colleges, universities, and centers of research, and those who teach and work in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and in state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith here and around the world. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
revealed its true body and precious blood. For our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith till life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 338.
Oh,
welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Thanks to everybody who helped organize and travel and sing and cook and clean up with our Christmas caroling to our shut-in members at the nursing home yesterday. It was a great, great opportunity to bring a little joy, Advent joy, Christmas joy, joy in Jesus to some folks who don't get a chance to get out much. It was a marvelous day. On Sunday next week at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the 18th, we have our children's Christmas program, school, Sunday school, preschool together. 2 o'clock next Sunday afternoon, you're all invited. We have one more practice, and that will be at 10 o'clock on Saturday, kind of a dress rehearsal, bringing everybody together. We're excited about that. Keep that date in mind next Sunday at 2 o'clock. Offering envelopes for next year are there, out on a table in the back. If you could help us get those distributed, that would be a great help and a great blessing as well. Anything else? Anything else? Special music was great. Thanks to the choir. They're all gone. Welcome our new members. They were all here at 8. They're all gone. The vast majority of them are gone. So have a great day and week and Advent and life in the joy of Christ.